Hello and welcome to our program. We've been thinking about these words that are found in the first chapter of Proverbs, where it says Proverbs is written to know wisdom, instruction, perception, and understanding. We're going to look at understanding what is acceptable unto the Lord. Stay tuned for our program. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 10 says that we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If we're going to really find out what is acceptable unto the Lord, then we will need the Lord to guide us into all truth, as the Holy Spirit has said He would do for us. And so make this your prayer. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah.
Guide me, O the great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, pour me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 10 says that we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In recent years, so-called fundamental pastors have made it acceptable to join the local church with no commitment. Now, is that acceptable unto the Lord? If not, why not? Why have we made it acceptable? Is it that we want a crowd of people out there to talk to? In recent years, fundamental pastors, so-called, have made it acceptable that 90 to 95% of the church membership can feel comfortable showing up for church on Sunday morning and doing nothing for God throughout the rest of the week. Is that acceptable unto the Lord? The word acceptable means to be satisfactory. Is that satisfactory? If it's not, why have we made it acceptable? The answer, could that be that we want them to put their money on the offering plate? Fundamental pastors, fundamental so-called, have made it acceptable to be part of the church membership and to come to church on Sunday morning and to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and then to sit at home watching some trash on television while the evening service is on and the midweek service as well. Is that acceptable unto the Lord? We say, no, that's not acceptable. Then why have we made it acceptable? If fundamental pastors, fundamental so-called, have made it acceptable for membership to miss 2 out of 3 services a week, is that acceptable with the Lord? That means they will miss 104 out of 156 meetings every year. I doubt if any pastor was putting together a ball team for his church, and the people he was talking to for the ball team said, well, you understand we may or may not show up for 2 out of 3 games. I doubt very much if he would let them on the team. How is it that we can just look the other way and say, well, why don't you just join the church? That'll be okay. It's time we woke up a little bit and realized what is acceptable unto the Lord and what is not acceptable unto the Lord. And oh yes, I've said so-called fundamentalism a few times already in this program. Do you understand? We call this fundamentalism. I don't think God calls it fundamentalism. In our last program, we were looking in the book of Jude, where he gave us a warning about what he called the common salvation. We have seen in our previous program that that word common, the Greek word, has been translated defiled in Matthew 7 and 2. It has been translated unclean 3 times in Romans 14, verse 14. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, it is translated unholy. Now, he's writing about that unholy, unclean, defiled plan of salvation that was creeping into the churches there, and he wrote warning them to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Paul had the same problem. He wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1. He said in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But, he said, it's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He went on to say, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In case we didn't get that sentence, he said it again. As we said before, verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Any other gospel will be a damnable heresy. That's what Peter called it. And so Paul is very explicit about it. Jude was very explicit about it. So how the apostasy has come flooding into our churches? Well, we've presented this common salvation where you don't have to repent in order to get saved. Just vote for Jesus, pray a prayer, and bring them in. And then we have what is called in the Old Testament a mixed multitude. What is the result of these Christians mixed with these unchristians who pray a little prayer but aren't really saved? Well, first it started with perverted translations of the Bible. Then we have a rejection of God's standards. Then the philosophy of ministry completely changed. The common salvation became acceptable. And then CCM music was the glide path to bring in a whole lot of other trash. Well, how should we be handling this? Back in Jude, verse number 17, he said, but beloved. In verse number 20, he said, but ye beloved. Now, what he did for the first 16 verses was give us a picture of what things were, face the facts, but then he said we need to face the future. But, beloved, he said, verse 17, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. That word lust has been translated desire several times. Their own ungodly desires. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But, beloved, he said, number one, remember. Number two, they told you. Number three, therefore it should be no surprise. Number four, there should be no confusion. Number five, you should understand what the will of the Lord is. Then in verse 20, he said again, but ye, beloved, number one, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Number 3, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Number 4, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Number 5, verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Number 6, 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And number 7, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, that is falling for this apostasy and the apostates that are presenting it, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Amen. And so Jude ends his little chapter here, just 25 verses, and he ends it with a very positive note. He says, but, beloved, remember, they told you. There's no surprise. There should be no confusion. You need to understand. Face the facts. Face the future. Then in verse 20 on down through, he says, first of all, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up. That phrase is in the Bible 7 times. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What are we talking about? We're talking about doctrine. We're talking about the Word of God. Acts 20, verse 32. The Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 10. The Bible talks about it being the foundation. I have laid the foundation, another man buildeth thereon, but let him every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. 1 Corinthians 3, 12. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. Verse number 14. If any man's work shall abide which he hath built thereon. The Word of God can build us up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20. And you are built upon the foundation. And then in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, as we have read, rooted and built up in him. And then again, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. This is what we're supposed to be doing in this age of apostasy. Not sitting around, not having 90% of the people who call themselves fundamentalists doing nothing from one service to the next. We need to be into the Word of God every day and letting the Word of God get into us every day and building ourselves in the things of the Lord. Now, we have in a previous series of programs looked at this little book of Jude, and the process, the building process, building is the process of developing something over a period of time. And we saw in that previous program that the process, number 1, is prayer, verse number 20. Number 21, being in love with the Lord. Verse 21, taking advantage of the mercy of the Lord. Verse 22, maintaining compassion. Verse 23, a genuine concern for others. And then finally, we just simply need to keep our focus on the Lord as we're in the Word of God. And the Bible says that He will present us faultless even through this age of apostasy. Verse number 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. If we will follow the process here that He has given us in these last few verses in the book of Jude, He said He would keep us from falling for the apostasy of this day and the apostates who are promoting the apostasy. And so the question is, where do you stand in this age of apostasy? Listen to this message and song, and if you're wise, you will make it your prayer.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, flat-hearted and pathway of life. sing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. Follow His leading and give Him my
give henceforth.